So, Father, tonight we have this opportunity once again to be with other believers and to, in a very real way, celebrate with believers as they take that step of obedience towards baptism. And so, Father, we pray for your Spirit here tonight. We pray that we will sense your presence in our lives, and we pray the same thing for the candidates of baptism as well. And then, Father, as we go from here, may we continue to worship you and glorify you and praise you because of who you are and what you continue to do in our lives, both individually and as a church. So, Father, we pray your blessing on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, as we looked at Psalm 86, verse 11, we talked about the last part of that verse. Lord, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Tonight, we want to look at the first part of that verse, the first part which says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Teach me your way. It's interesting that most of us do enjoy studying something, whether it's mechanics, whether it's carpentry, whether it's cooking, whether it's the Bible, whether it's so many things. Do you find it easy when you are learning something to be in a discussion and to say to someone, you know what? You are right. I like your understanding of this. Sometimes we can be guilty of wanting to just study and wanting to learn on our own simply because then I have no one to argue with. Right? If I study and I learn on my own, then I can go by what I understand, and as long as no one disagrees with me, I'm fine. We talked about church membership, about our accountability together, learning to work together, care for each other. There's another part to it, and that is that together we study God's Word and we seek to understand what it says to us. Together. We are all very different personalities. Some of us are noisy. We talk all the time. Some of us like to share our opinion very quickly. Others would be the last to share their opinion or might not even share it in a group. But folks, together we discover what the Bible says. And together we find a practical application to living in the year 2009 and on, because the Bible is as relevant for us today as it was when it was first written nearly 2,000 years ago. A teachable spirit. We want to have a teachable spirit. If we look at Psalm 86, I think I'm frozen here, David, so you'll have to give me one there. Oh, no. Got it. A teachable spirit, where he says, teach me your ways and I will walk in your truth. Moses, in talking with the Lord, makes a very, very interesting comment in Exodus chapter 33. And I love this because as I consider studying the Bible together with you, and as I study it for myself, why am I studying it? Why would I even open my Bible? Why wouldn't I just listen to someone else? Moses said to the Lord, he said, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Why? So that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. The more I discover in Scripture, the more I read the Bible, the better I get to know God. Teach me your way so that I may know you and find favor with you. This undivided heart that we talked about this morning, a heart that loves the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength, is very key. Because a heart that is in love with the God, with our God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, will be open to be taught from His Word and becomes teachable. We want to look at a number of scriptures that are different ways in which we apply God's Word. And most of them you will find are prayers or our requests of God. And the Psalms are full of them. We do find them all over the Bible. But in the Psalms, he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Notice the progression here. He says, show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Show me, teach me, guide me. Show me your ways. That's kind of a general, that'd be looking at a map and looking at the whole from here to Toronto. That's looking at the whole trip. Show me your ways. But as you start driving, the first couple of days, actually, you don't need to be worried about Toronto. You just need to be worried where you are at. And so then he says, teach me your paths. That's where we are at right now. That's the walk I am walking on today. This is where I need to make my next turn. This is where I need to be careful. And then he says, guide me. Through all of this, continue to listen. If you have GPS, you listen to it. If you don't, listen to your wife. But you have to listen. Because you're driving and you're not supposed to be looking at the map while you're driving. If you do, you need to stop. But guide me means that I will listen to the instructions that are there. In Psalm 119, a very long psalm, but we find there 8 times that he says, teach me your decrees, teach me your laws, he says in a different place, or teach me your knowledge and good judgment. He wants our prayer, our desire is that God's word will become alive for us. That it will be applicable to where we are at. In Psalm 143, verse 10, he says, teach me to do your will. You see, as God opens his word to us, then we need to be what? We need to have that heart that responds, right? Teach me to do your will, not my own will. You know what happens when we respond to God's will? He says, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. If it's dark and you're not walking on level ground, it's tough. That's where it's easy to trip and to fall. It's good to know God's truth, but we need to walk in it. If a student comes to a teacher, and teachers, you love it when students come to you, right? And they say, teach me. I'm not understanding this. Teach me what this principle is. Then you will expect that when exam day comes, that question might be answered a bit better. In other words, when you teach and someone wants to learn, they say, teach me, then you expect there will be a response. If you are driving on your way to Toronto and you're lost, and finally you listen to whoever else is in the car speaking and asking you to ask for directions, and so you ask for the way that you should go. And so now you have directions as to which way you should go. You get back in your car and you keep going the same lost way that you have. and this other person happens to ask, is this the right way? Well, no, but we were going this way anyway. Many times we open God's word and we do pray and we want God to show us, and He does show us. And we, so to speak, get back in our car and we go our same lost way. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, is this the right way? Well, no, but I was going this way already. You see, as we, a teachable spirit, not only learns more, but it has a desire to understand more and then to apply it. Ezra, to me, is an incredible example of that. Ezra says, or it says of Ezra, it's describing him, and it says that he devoted himself to the study of God's word, and what? Observing what he learned, and then to teaching it. But he studied it, and then he learned. Quite a while later, Paul, in writing to Philippians, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and then the God of peace will be with you. You see, a teachable spirit responds because we can be guilty of people who are always learning but never acknowledging the truth. What acknowledging means is that we put it into practice, that which we learn. And folks, that requires humility. Learning and having a teachable spirit requires humility. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Sometimes we may be like the horse and the mule. Psalmist says, the Lord says to the psalmist, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then he says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. God's desire is that our heart be humble, that our heart be open. Then we will put into practice the things we learn. But then we come and we say, let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Only an open mind understands. And when we understand, it impacts our life. You know what Paul, who said, talked to the Philippians about following him and practicing what he taught, he was also the one that said to Timothy, he says, you know all about my teaching, but notice how he doesn't stop there. He says, you know about my teaching, but you also know my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. God's word has not done its complete work in your life until it changes your life. Until it comes from your heart to your head, or head to your heart and down to your feet. Then God's word has fulfilled accomplished the purpose for which it was sent. So there we have it. The psalmist prayed, teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear you. As we consider baptism and membership, then we realize that, you know what? God isn't finished with these folks that will be sharing their testimony. Their lives aren't perfect. At least I hope they're not, because they might not fit into La Creek Christian Fellowship if they are. Because we're not a perfect church. We're not a perfect people, but we are forgiven. And God, our desire is to follow the teaching, to learn together from God's Word. So as they come and share, you will notice a journey. They're on their way. And they will be at different stages of their journey. And they desire to have a teachable spirit. Their heart has been given to the Lord. And now they want to make that public, that confession of their faith, that they will follow Jesus. And they will walk together with the body of Christ, the church, in doing that. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you so much that you give us your word, that you guide us through your word. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that when you were sent at Pentecost and since then and to every believer, that you say that you will teach us the truth of Jesus Christ, that you will counsel us. And so we have this incredible opportunity to not just read God's Word, but God's Word, it's so different from any other book in that it is living and it is active and it changes our life. It empowers us to live the Christian life. Lord Jesus, our desire is to become more like you. And if we want that, then we will have to have that undivided heart. And we invite you to teach us so that we may walk in your truth. I pray your blessing on each of the candidates as they share their testimonies. And may you give them the strength and open our hearts to receive your word even from their lips. In Jesus' name, amen. In this first group of people that will be baptized, we have James and Kylie and Sheila Penner. James and Kylie Zacharias. And I'm going to ask James and Kylie to come and share their testimony with us. And then I will baptize them. And then after that, Sheila, we will invite her to come as well.
Good evening. My name is James Zacharias. I've been married for a little over 2 years. I have two beautiful girls, which I believe came from answered prayers from God. Before my first daughter was born, I was caught in a very sinful world, filled with drugs and a lot of alcohol. For over 10 years, I put the Lord aside and lived in a very sinful nature. Although I thought this was living the so-called good life, it left me feeling very empty and lonely. My heart was telling me I knew better, for from young on, my parents and the rest of my family had taught me about Jesus and his love. And I thanked them for never giving up and giving continuous prayer. I began to pray every night before I went to bed for Jesus to help me, to get me away from my habits. I prayed every night, but I didn't give in to the Spirit of God and let him control my life. Psalm 55. Listen to me, O Lord. Do not ignore my every cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. But he did answer me, but in his own time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful, keep on praying, no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. He gave me my daughter Murad, and after seeing her new life, I began to question mine. And I finally gave in to the Lord, giving him full control. What better way to be a positive role model than live with our Heavenly Father? I always believed that Jesus died for our sins, but it wasn't until I asked him to come into my life and forgive my sins that I became a Christian. The burden and guilt of my past sins lifted off my chest and I felt his presence. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. Since then I have fallen and struggled in my walk with Christ, but I know if I put my trust and faith in him, he will lift me again. My wish is to grow stronger in my faith, so my children will grow up in God's environment, so that they too will seek him. My hope is that they won't have to see what I've seen and feel what I've felt. It is a good feeling watching your child praying with you before bed. Upon this confession, I wish to be baptized.
I was sitting there listening to the sermon, and I was just worried that I wouldn't be able to see over the pulpit, so this is a good thing. I believe I'm here today because of my mother's faithful prayers. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and he hears, and his ears are attentive to their cries. Psalms 34:15. Prayer is powerful. God hears us and answers us at his will and his timing. I'm overwhelmed with joy seeing how far God has brought me in such a short time. Looking back on my life, there was a time in which I would have never thought life's journey would have brought me here today. Who among gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Exodus 15:11. The Lord has worked many wonders in my life. I first asked Jesus to be my Savior as a young child, not fully understanding his saving grace or having a clear perspective of who God was. In my first year at Riverside Bible Camp, the Holy Spirit moved my heart deeply. It was there where I dedicated my life to the Lord and the true transformation began. I remember what a peace took hold in my heart by surrendering all to Jesus. In the next few years, I spent my time building my relationship with the Lord. I attended Sunday school, youth group, and Bible studies. All seemed well until sin began to seep into my life, almost slowly enough to go unnoticed. I started spending less time building my relationship with God and more trying to impress peers. I fell into the wrong crowd, and in a short time, Satan took hold of my life, sending me into a whirlwind of sin. I began filling my life with feel-good for the moment sin that left me feeling empty, broken, and lonelier than I had ever felt. But even in my lowest low, I was never too far away for the Lord to save me. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a place to stand. Psalms 42. The way that the Lord has worked in my life amazes me. How he knows my heart and has planned my life from first cry to final breath. He has freed me from my bondage of addictions and sin, for which I am forever grateful. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Isaiah 12, verse 2. God forgave me and accepted me as his child, even after all the struggles and sin I went through. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Ephesians 1, verse 5. My future is in God's hands. My hope is that with the guidance of the Lord, James and I will raise our children to know and follow God. Above all, I want to serve God and do his will, whatever that may be. I will trust and obey his calling. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Upon this confession of faith, I wish to be baptized.
James, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God and that there is salvation only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Kali, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, that salvation is only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I too was wondering if I'd be able to look over this. I, Sheila Penner, became a Christian in March 2009. I am happy to share with you how God has been at work in my life. While I was growing up in a religious home, my parents told me about Jesus and how He died on the cross for our sins. Looking back now, I realize that no matter how hard I tried to be a good person, I couldn't do it on my own. I needed to ask the Lord to be my Savior, or I didn't stand a chance against Satan. I would make empty promises, go to church to please others. I would do good deeds to impress our God. Little did I know about Satan and how he can impose thoughts and feelings. I always thought they were just mine. I would believe the lies of the enemy, and by doing so, I sinned. Finally, in the winter of 2008, my load got so heavy, I could no longer bear it. It took a lot of courage for me to call Henry Workentine and ask him if he could help me. So in March 7th, 2009, I went to see him and he led me to the Lord, praise God. After that, I've had great peace. I often feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's such a warming feeling. I've had been able to share the gospel, and my goal is to become more like Jesus every day, and I wish to be baptized upon my confession of faith.
Sheila, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is salvation only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You may be seated.
Thank you for sharing your testimonies with us. We're going to call on Gilbert and Wendy. And then after that, Kevin and Jenna.
Good evening. My name is Gilbert Morris, and I've lived here, what some students say, all my life, because they think I'm Mennonite now. At least we heard that a few times from some of the students. Some of the things that might be new to many of you is I grew up in Rocky Lane, so I've always known about LaCrete, and so I've crossed the river. I'd like to start by saying that I grew up knowing about God from a very early age. I believed God existed, that there was only one God, and that, like many kids do, that He could do anything He wanted to do. He knew everything. He heard everything. I'd pray to God sometimes. I believed He heard me because, you know, as parents say, God hears everything. A number of years passed, and this is kind of the way what I grew up believing. It was in 1994, 93, late 93, 94 that I moved to LaCrete, where I developed a close relationship with a number of Christians. I spent many hours at the fitness gym, coffee times with them, talking about God and getting to know who He really was. I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness home with doctrine that was very similar but significantly different than the belief of Christians. Biblical truths such as the Trinity, the message of salvation, grace, being reborn, the cross were all quite different to me. During this time, I was quite confused. Those who knew me know that I question. They know that I question everything. And it was through those questions and conversations with friends that and reading the Bible that I began to realize there was a lot more to God's truth. This was probably the first sign that I knew that God was already at work in my life. In the spring of 1996, I started to be challenged in my faith a lot more. I'd been quite successful on my own to this point. I'd gone to university, obtained a degree, had a good job, was self-sufficient, was about to get married, felt I was a good person. I believed there was a God. I started attending church here at the AMC. What more could I want? I thought I had everything. That same spring, I proposed to Wendy, and she did say yes. It was at that point that things really started to change. At first, we had to decide where we would get married, and weren't really sure. We knew that we wanted to get married in a church. That's where everybody gets married. And after a fair amount of thought, we decided to get married in the Anglican Church in Edmonton. Like most churches, one of the things that you need to do is take premarital sessions. And we took those sessions with Reverend Herman Dietrich at the Anglican Church in Fort. And it was through these sessions that I started to understand that I would have to have a personal relationship with Jesus before I could be saved. I remember one session in particular when Reverend Dietrich explained what sin was. He told me that sin was anything that separated us from God, and that it was only through Jesus that we could become part of the kingdom of God. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Up to that point, I'd never thought of myself as a sinner. Again, I question, was I really a sinner? Weren't my good intentions enough? Why shouldn't I be worthy of all the glories God had to offer? Those questions were a huge part of my life back then. I've heard many testimonies where tragedy or despair or other things have led people to Jesus. My life has been slightly different. For a number of years, I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I knew that accepting Jesus for all he had done for me was the right thing to do. But I struggled to accept him. I believed in him. I never called upon him. Did I really need him in my life? I seemed to be okay living my life on my own accord. Or was this simply a way Satan had taken hold of my life? In retrospect, I believe this mindset, I'm okay on my own, is Satan's most effective way of keeping people or non-Christians from knowing the Lord, a tactic that worked many years in my life. Many friends, God's Word, several Bible studies, this church, a loving wife, a family, were all instrumental in leading me towards my Savior. I've witnessed the life-changing power of prayer in many of my Christian friends. I've seen those that live for God are extremely blessed above all, and there are many incredible benefits for living for God. I saw the joy and peace that many Christian friends had serving the Lord. I was content, but I didn't have that type of joy. For several years, I had asked Jesus many times why I found it so difficult to put all my stubbornness aside, have faith, accept him, and let him guide my life. So many times, I could hear him knocking, but I struggled to let him in. I cannot give an exact time or date when I chose to accept Jesus. But it seems like, you know, when nighttime falls and prayer starts, that's the time that things seem to work. I do remember lying in bed late one night thinking about my life. I'd had a particularly difficult day that day. I succumbed to my temper. I knew I had a temper, but up to that point I thought with the strength I had, the willpower I had, I could control it. That night, as I lay in bed, I prayed to God. I thanked Him for all He blessed me with, especially a family that I was so thankful for, and at that point, one that I thought I was about to ruin. It was a prayer that was so much different than the other prayers I had had. I asked Jesus why I struggled the way I did, and He began to speak to me. It was the first time I felt the presence of Jesus, and it was that night I had asked Him to be part of my life, and I would commit to serving Him. I surrendered all my burdens over to Him, one of which was my temper. Through all of this, it was the first time I confessed I was a sinner. I asked for forgiveness, and that I did not have the strength to go it alone. I am so thankful for God in my life. I've always believed in God's word, and that there was one true faith, one true God, and only one way to heaven. I now believe that and accept that following Christ is the only way to heaven and the only way to true happiness in this life. As Galatians 3:24 reads, those who belong to Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. There is so much goodness that comes from living from God. My decision to be baptized has been a long time coming, so long that I never thought I would become baptized. Wendy and I have attended this church for many years. Only recently, while taking the network course and Christian life classes, I felt a conviction to take this step in my life. I want to feel more a part of the church community, to be a role model for our children, and most importantly, to publicly confess my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior.
I'm Wendy, Gilbert's wife. Growing up, I made plans for my life. I dreamed of my life as an adult, my future occupation, where I would live, my future husband, how many children we would have. Ironically, my dreams were very different than my life today, but God has blessed me beyond anything I could have imagined. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in the spring of 1996, and my life changed and continues to change as I strive to be more like Him. I grew up in Edmonton. We went to church when I was young. I learned about God, but I did not understand about having a personal relationship with Him. We stopped going to church when I was older, and I didn't know anyone except for my grandparents who are Christians. After graduating from university, I applied for teaching jobs throughout the province. I had always dreamed of being a teacher, and that year that I graduated, few school divisions were actually hiring. I was determined to find a position. Consequently, in November of 1993, I applied for yet another job, this time at Hillcrest Community School. I had never heard of Bloomingdale, Alberta, but nonetheless, I happily went to the interview. The interview went well, and I was told I would get a call the next day, which was Thursday, to let me know if I would get the job, and that the position would start the following Monday. I went home and cried and cried. I remember talking to my mom about it. She couldn't understand why I would be so upset if I was sure that I would get the job. But I was sure that I would, and that I knew I had to take the position. I didn't know why, but I know now that God chose me to be His child and that He was leading me to Him. I left everything that I was familiar with behind me, and I set out on a new beginning. I saw God everywhere that first year away from home. I worked for a Christian principal, and was surrounded by Christ's love through the people in the community that I worked in. I had always believed in God, but now I was beginning to see Him as a living God. That summer, I went on a teaching exchange to the Philippines. It broke my heart to see the poverty and the living conditions of the people there. Some days, I thought that I wouldn't even be able to get out of bed, let alone make it through the day. I spent a lot of time that summer praying and learning to trust in God. One particular day, we visited a leper colony. Coming from a North American culture, I wasn't even aware that leprosy still existed. As we visited with the lepers here, I was terrified. Their skin hung off their bodies, and there was a man who had a hole in his face, where his nose was supposed to be. I remember thinking of Jesus, and how He was not afraid, and how He loved these people despite their illness. I was overwhelmed by the great power of His love. When I came back to La Crete, everything was familiar again. I got busy with another school year, and I relied on my own strength instead of God's. Over the next couple of years, there were times when I let God carry me, and times when I stumbled along clumsily on my own 2 feet. During this time, I was blessed with Christian friends and a Christian roommate. They spent a lot of time answering my questions, talking with me, and praying for me. Combined with this, Gil and I were planning an upcoming wedding. As I had attended the Anglican Church as a child and been baptized here as an infant, we began attending premarital classes at the Anglican Church in Fort. One of the classes, the minister explained to us about salvation and how to receive Christ as your personal Savior. As it was the same explanation that I was hearing from those around me, this really struck me. God knows that I avoid decisions, and I believe that He placed all these people in my life at the same time to surround me with Him. That spring, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. About a year ago, I was reading a Bible story to a group of children. God started to show me that while I was being obedient on the outside, I wasn't always obedient to Him on the inside. He showed me that even if you're doing the right thing, it needs to be done with right motives. At this time, I began to pray about baptism and church membership. God convicted me that this was the step He now required me to take. Through a series of twists and turns, conversations with friends led to this topic, and Pastor Peter began to speak on the subject. I don't know if this was his exact words, but one Sunday he spoke on the benefit of church memberships. He compared the church to a foreign country, and someone who had been in the church for an extended period of time needed to take membership, or they would, in a sense, be like someone whose visitor visa had ran out and was an illegal alien. I don't know if those are his words or mine. That's what I heard. I could be in trouble. He said we should ask ourselves where we want to serve, and that should be our home church. Sitting in my pew, I asked myself where I wanted to serve. My mind wandered to exotic places before I answered the question with La Crete Christian Fellowship. I have committed my life to Christ, and am doing my best to serve Him, to become closer to Him and more like Him in my daily life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. Verses 23-24.
Gilbert, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that salvation is only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Wendy, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that salvation is only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? Upon that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Kevin and Jenna.
Hello, my name is Jenna Elias. I grew up in a Christian home where Bible stories were read and Christian songs were among our favorite songs, especially on long road trips and when washing the dishes. Going to Sunday school and church every Sunday was a given. I first accepted Jesus as my Savior as a young child, and I can't remember the details of the experience. But I do know that I grew up with a strong and very confident faith. I would happily attend VBS every summer, and when I was older, I had great experiences at Riverside Bible Camp. Somewhere around the age of 15, my attitude started to change. I desperately wanted my independence from the rules that were set for me, and I started to resent having to be part of Bible study activities. During this time, I never stopped believing in the truths of God or Jesus Christ, but I just stopped caring. This was difficult to watch for the people who loved me the most. Occasionally on trips back home from the car wash, my dad would ask me where I would go if Jesus were to come back today. I would roll my eyes at the question and think to myself, this is going to be a long 10-minute drive. I didn't know, or actually I didn't want to think about what would happen to me. My ambivalence toward Christianity has slowly started to change over the last year, and looking back, I can see how God never stopped watching over me. He gave me an amazing partner to share this journey of life with, and he gave me a strong Christian roommate at a time where I was especially vulnerable, and he kept my family praying. In Joshua 1:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As of June 12, 2009, God has entrusted one of his children into our care. It is a privilege to have the responsibility to raise her in a way that protects her eternal well-being. I want to be baptized to show publicly that we want to invite God back into our home and into our hearts. I'm looking forward to becoming a member of the EMC Church, and it is especially heartwarming to know that the same people who watched me grow up will watch my daughter grow up also. There are a couple of verses in Deuteronomy that I like to refer to as I continue this journey. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Good evening. I'm Kevin Elias, and I must say it's a lot easier to be tucked behind the drums than standing up here. I grew up in a Christian home where going to church was expected. Church has always been a part of my life, and I never doubted that there was a God. I always thought that if you're a good person that you would get into heaven. I discovered this to be false after a conversation with Jenna back in 2001. It was shortly after that that I was asked to play in an EMC with the EMC Church in an EMC hockey tournament in Steinbeck, Manitoba. I had a great time there playing with and talking to Christian men, and it was shortly after that that I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ. I've experienced highs and lows before in my life, but this is a definite high. In an effort to build up my relationship with God, I'd read the Bible daily and pray daily. When I eventually started coming down from this high, I found it difficult to open my Bible, and I didn't have time to pray. I have struggled with what being a Christian really is, and I've often wondered if I really was one. Reading through Colossians has helped me discover the truth about what a Christian is and should strive to be. In Colossians 3:12-14, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all those virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Being baptized was something that I knew I wanted to do, but I always had an excuse not to. When we moved back to Crete in 2008, we started attending the EMC Church regularly and made the decision to make this church more than just a place we go every Sunday. Since having a child in June, Jen and I have decided that we want our daughter to be raised in a Christian home, and to do this, we need to make God a part of our lives as well. I know there will continue to be highs and lows, but with God's help, and with the help of the church family, I know that I'll be able to overcome these lows and keep God as my focus.
Kevin, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is salvation only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, Kevin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jenna, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is salvation only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As you observe the baptism and as you see how the water runs down, and in Joel, before Jesus Christ came, God said that the day would come when He would pour out His Spirit upon His sons and His daughters. And that's what God does and has done. As we've listened to these testimonies, and as we pour that water on, and as you see the water running down, It's a picture, a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming and into their lives, being poured out on their lives, and the changes that God will do through the Holy Spirit. We have spoken of the need that we have for each other, the need to learn together. This morning we talked a bit about the need to care for each other and to serve together. We are privileged to accept into membership these folks that have shared their testimonies tonight. They come and they're committing to working and serving and learning together with us. But we're also going to be there for them. It's two-way, it's reciprocal, goes back and forth. And so I'm going to ask James and Kylie and Sheila and Gilbert and Wendy and Kevin and Jenna, if you will come, and we have a couple of questions for you, and then we will also have some questions of the congregation. Please come up. You will notice in the questions that we will be asking them that they see there's that thread of community that comes out through them. As you trust in the Holy Spirit for guidance, is it your desire that you want to live a consistent Christian life? Is it your desire that you will honor Christ in all of your relationships? Is it your desire to become a part of the La Creek Christian Fellowship family, to serve God together with us, to use the gifts God has given you to serve others? Will you commit yourself to supporting this church through prayer, regular worship, giving, and serving? And finally, are you in agreement with the statement of faith of this congregation? To those of you that are already members of La Creek Christian Fellowship, I ask you whether you will accept these brothers and sisters in Christ into our fellowship. And with that, will you promise to be a consistent witness to them, a consistent Christian example? Will you pray for them? Will you encourage them? Will you build them up? If you will commit to that, then please, as members of the La Creek Christian family, please rise to your feet. We appreciate the families and friends that have come to join as well, to join these folks in their special day. And I want to ask you, I know that you may not have the same opportunity, but when you do have opportunity, will you also commit yourselves to encouraging these folks? Will you commit yourself to praying for them and encouraging them in their walk with the Lord? If that would be something that you would do as opportunity is presented to you, then please also rise to your feet. It's neat that we're a part of the family of God, and we can see that the interaction together as we live out our faith. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is with great joy that we come before you, and we thank you that you have saved us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to come and die for us. Thank you, Father, that you planned this even already in the Garden of Eden. When sin first entered the world, you said that one day a Redeemer would come who would give us victory over the evil one. And Lord Jesus, you came. You lived a perfect, sinless Christian life, and then you died on the cross for our sins. You rose again, victorious over death, over Satan. And you have promised to us eternal life. Our salvation is so wonderful. Thank you for giving it to us. I pray, Father, for Gilbert and Wendy. Pray for Kevin and Jenna, for Sheila, for Kylie and James. I pray, Father, for their continued desire to serve you, to walk in your ways. I thank you for their desire to be a part of this local body of believers. Bless us together as we serve you in sharing the good news of the gospel with the rest of the world. We ask, Lord, that as we move into this next week, that in a very special way you will be with these folks and those that gave their testimonies and were baptized this morning. Lord, many times after a high like this, then we enter that wilderness experience, and we pray for your protection and care over them and for their faith to be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Welcome. Part of the Christian family, the Creek Christian Fellowship. Welcome to the Creek Christian Fellowship. Welcome to our body.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us tonight, for encouraging and supporting those who were baptized with your presence. And thank you to those who were baptized tonight for sharing with us how God has worked and is working in your lives and for allowing us to be part of a very special evening. Let's go back to the book of Psalms for our benediction here tonight. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. For those of you who are baptized, if you wouldn't mind just perhaps coming to the front and standing over here, and for the rest of us, if you'd like to come and greet them and encourage them, you're welcome to do so. If not, you can exit through the back, or perhaps even stay seated if you want to, because I think there might be a few more songs. So thank you so much for coming tonight. You're dismissed.